And welcome to another episode of Soundography, a crash course in popular music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And Hammond, today we're going country.
We are.
We are delving deep into country, deep into old classic country, which is really my favorite kind of country, my favorite country music era. I'm not a big fan of new country, but I do like Hank Williams and George... oh my God, George, whose name? I can't remember his last name, but George...
Harrison?
Now you're totally veering me off. Anyway, I like old country, even if I can't remember the artist's names that did it. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kenny Rogers, Dolly, of course.
You know, we did discuss doing a number of different country people.
George Jones.
George Jones, yes.
Yeah.
And
that's
Johnny,
such an uncommon name to remember.
Johnny Paycheck.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Paycheck, right. But the person that we're going to be looking at for this episode of Soundography is Patsy Cline, who is perfect for film or for Soundography because she is she's best known for like two or three songs, and not many people know anything more about her.
And that's sad for a number of reasons. One, because in the time that she was turning out music, it was awesome. And in the fact that people just aren't familiar with this style of vocalization and country and this era of country.
Yeah, she was an amazing, amazing talent with an amazing crystal clear voice, just like this perfect pitch, perfect, I don't know. I mean, just you hear each and every lyric in the song, which I really, really like. And, just really, really a big talent. And it was a lot of fun over the past week kind of listening to all of her music. And there's not a lot of it out there. I mean, she released three albums.
Yeah, three studio albums.
Three studio albums. And so there's not a massive Leonard Cohen-sized library of music to listen to.
I mean, it's not even Bay City Roller size.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'd say actually so far out of everyone we've done, she's got the smallest number of releases for us to listen to, for sure.
Well, what was interesting about this time, though, is that this is the day and age where 45s and singles were what was selling.
Right.
So the lack of full-size albums isn't totally surprising because she has a fistful of EPs and a stack of singles.
Right. Yeah, I mean, when they said, oh, we're going to go cut a record in the studio, it was... an A side and a B side, and that was your record. And today we call those singles. Today, you know, they're 45s or they're 10 inch singles or whatever. But that's how people. It's so funny. That's how people bought music back then. Guess what? That's kind of how people buy music today. Yeah. Buy the song, right?
Yeah, it is. But it's just, you know, this is when the DJs, the jocks, could make or break somebody just by saying that they like their song.
Yeah,
and it's sad to think that day and age is so far gone that even some of the last living legends of that era have now passed away. And it's almost a bygone nostalgic era to hear, you know, the Big Bopper and who's the guy that always did the midnight stuff, an American Bandstand guy.
And midnight stuff and...
The New Year's Eve.
Oh, Dick Clark.
Dick Clark, yeah. He was one of those guys. And yeah. It's
I was thinking musician for some reason. I was like, who's yeah.
And you know, that kind of Wolfman Jack, those kind of guys made and broke careers just by not playing them or playing them because they had that much power.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, you don't see that. You don't see that at all. I mean, the closest you get is reality shows that discover and launch people's careers. But really, I mean, aside from a handful, like Carrie Underwood is a great example, Daughtry to some degree. You don't really hear much from Ruben Studdard, for example, these days. You don't hear much from...
Well, who was the first winner of America?
Kelly Clarkson.
She's still stuck around.
She's still, doing things. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But so not many others.
Like I said, it works in a few cases. Jennifer Hudson, you know, from a totally different perspective, going into a movie career and a music career. But they don't, you know, we don't discover our musicians the same way that we did 20 years ago or 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Case.
Yeah.
But, you know, her big break came when she was young, and she recorded Walking After Midnight for the Arthur Godfrey Talent Competition.
Right.
And that set her on a course that she was on until the day she died.
Yeah. And some side roads, of course, a couple failed, well, one failed marriage and I mean, both marriages were... had some not good things come out of them.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's funny, for this I watched, in addition to listening to music and reading some online biographies, I watched the Sweet Dreams biopic with Jessica Lange and Ed Harris, and Ed Harris plays her second husband, her abusive husband, Charlie, and which I hear is over-dramatized for the film. Like, I've seen a lot of criticisms of the film saying that it was made to look a lot worse than things were.
Oh, I'm sure it did, just because of the entertainment value has to ramp it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I participated in 2 years in a row in a production of it, of Always Patsy Cline, of Always Patsy. Yeah. And, it was a 1988, musical that was written, and we ran it for years and years at the theater I worked at, but I only worked on it for two seasons. And it's a two-person show, and it's kind of pulled from letters that Patsy wrote to Louise Sager, a super fan that kind of became her friend. And
oh, really?
Yeah, okay. And it's like this musical review that's kind of loosely tied together with these letters and this relationship that these two had. And it's really, really good. And the lady we had who played the part of Patsy... she did such an awesome job. Her name was Erica Hansen, and she just did an amazing job pulling off and embodying Patsy Cline.
So was the narrative done as these two actresses just reading the letters, kind of like as they write them, but they're reading them out loud to each other?
Yeah, kind of, yeah, okay. To an extent. And then the band was on stage, and she would interact with the musicians and make comments to them, and they would kind of comment back. And it was a very musical review in its structure, but really, really good.
That's really cool. Wow. Huh. I'll have to check that out if it's ever, you know, turned into something that, like a film or like a show that comes here through Colorado. Very cool. Let's give some history on Patsy Cline. She was born in 1932 with the name Virginia Patterson Hensley. And, kind of, like you said, had her big break when she was on the Arthur Godfrey Talent Competition. But she had done like a lot of, performing in bars and things like that up until then.
Yeah.
It was that Walking After Midnight and subsequently, it was I Fall to Pieces that was her big crossover hit into pop. She was just straight country and did stuff like... Blue Moon of Kentucky and Hank Williams stuff and prior to that, but then moved into the pop crossover,
which was huge and almost unheard of in that day and age.
Right. Now it's norm de rigueur, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Basically it's, you know, every country artist kind of does that pop crossover thing.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy.
Crazy. And she was a major pioneer in country music. She was one of the first women to headline her own shows. And it proved that audiences would come to see women perform as much as they performed come to see men, which was also, I mean, something we don't think about anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the biopic didn't seem to talk much about if she had a very hard time getting into country music because she was a woman, because she was a solo artist and not part of a band or not, you know, not a male artist, just kind of if that was an issue back then of having to kind of fight your way into recording as a woman. But I imagine she did have some of that difficulty.
Yeah, and she was the first woman inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame as well in 1970. Wow. It took till 1973 for that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Huh. So she's just fascinating, and it's sad that she died when she was 30.
Mm-hmm. Be loving you always with a love that's true. Always. When the things you
Yeah, because you'd see a career trajectory like Etta James or Ella Fitzgerald, where they keep on, they do their own music, and then they do a bunch of standards, and then they move into this kind of music and a duets album or things like that. Mm-hmm. It would have been really cool to see what would have come of Patsy Cline had she not died. Plane crash. Jeez. Yeah.
And she did experiment a little bit with like honky tonk and rockabilly, but that slow, moody, wistful country is where she lived and was most comfortable.
You wouldn't worry me half as much as you do. You're nice to me when there's no one else around. You.
All right, so let's move into kind of the album releases, because there are. It's funny, for having only three studio albums, there are a lot of albums, and I was even finding this as I was listening to her catalog this week. Is that which one do you start with, right? Like which, because it's all compilations now.
Hardest part is you can't figure out where the chicken and the eggs aren't on the same plate, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But I guess in 1957, she released two EPs and a studio album. Mm-hmm. And the studio album is just called Patsy Cline. Then the EPs are songs by Patsy Cline. And there's also, not to be confusing, an EP called Patsy Cline.
So you go into the record store and you say, I'd like the Patsy Cline album, and they're going to hand you two of them.
Yes,
it's exactly. It's like Peter Gabriel these days, right? Here's these four.
Now we know where he got the idea.
Right, he got it from Patsy Cline. She's a visionary.
And then in 1961, she released Patsy Cline Showcase, which was a studio album. And again, Patsy Cline, the EP.
Right. And Patsy Cline Showcase was where she started working with the Jordanaires, who would obviously, you know, also work with Elvis Presley and some of those other Sun Records recording artists. And great, great backing vocalists.
Yes.
And it's also where she recorded I Fall to Pieces. It's where she recorded Crazy, which was written by Willie Nelson. You wouldn't think that Willie Nelson, you know, was.
But good for Willie Nelson for knowing that that song would not fit him.
Yeah, although you've heard him sing it too, right?
I have not.
It's slow and melancholy and really does. It works well with his voice. Not as well as with her voice, but I think it works really well with his voice too.
I was just thinking about point of view of the voice itself, coming from
of the lyrics.
Yeah, coming from a female perspective, mm-hmm, seems more inherently natural than hearing it from a male perspective.
For sure. Yeah. Yep. Also had she re-released Walking After Midnight on that album, but this time with the Jordanaires as opposed to the solo recording that she had on her first album.
I have to say that throughout all of Patsy Cline's music, it puts you squarely in a place in time. You feel like you're walking into the Enchantment Under the Sea dance every time I hear this stuff.
After all you put me through, well, I can't help it, I just do. Imagine that, and that's
and
not the
hand. It's amazing how it's so transportive to a very specific period of time and a very, very unique feeling. With that, though, when you're listening, there aren't very many surprises with Patsy Cline.
No, but it's very typical of the time period where every chord progression lands back on the first chord in the chord progression.
Yes.
Right.
But yeah. I can say, though, that I don't know if it's meant to have surprises. I think it's supposed to feature the voice. I think it's supposed to feature the lyric. And I think it's, in some cases, feature the background singers or some of the instrumentation. But it's I don't know if the hard right turn into something unique was expected musically then or even thought of musically at that point.
Yeah, I think...
especially in pop music.
Well, and that was the time, you know, was it that pop music started out as just being completely the purpose to entertain and never challenge, and then that did kind of evolve over time, and when you get into the later 60s and 70s, it was meant to challenge and meant to
have a message,
give you a message, and also take you in a direction that you weren't expecting. Oh, this chord progression is going to go here, or these lyrics are going to go, instead of it being like, you know, you broke my heart, but I still love you, blah, 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 into something weirder and darker.
You broke my heart, and now I've killed you.
Right. Yes. In the case of Guns N' Roses.
Or, you know, you can never hear Patsy Cline saying, "Hey, Joe, where are you going with that gun in your hand?"
Right. Yes, exactly.
Although, exactly. In a world where Patsy didn't die.
Right. Oh, could we have gotten the Paul Anka style, you know, swing and Pat Boone's, you know, the No More Mr. Nice Guy. Could we have gotten something like that from Patsy Cline? Would have been amazing. Would have absolutely been amazing.
So, and then let's see, where'd we leave off? 62. In 1962, she released Sentimentally Yours, which was the studio album. Mm-hmm. And then in 1962, she also released Patsy Cline's Golden Hits.
Right.
And she released another Patsy Cline EP. And
there it is right there.
And another one's called, She's Got You, which is the EP. And then also she released an EP with the songs So Wrong and You're Stranger Than Me.
Stronger,
sorry.
Yeah, but I like your title better.
You're Stronger Than Me. And those last three were EPs. She already had a compilation out after just a fistful of recordings. Mm-hmm. And then, so the compilation really took over her release schedule, because after that one in 62, it's kind of hard to kind of pinpoint when things were released, because now it's just all kind of in a cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you've just got three studio albums that you've released and a handful of singles, you've basically just got to figure out different ways of packaging and rearranging the songs and releasing the best ofs without it being
monotonous.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what, maybe 60, 70 songs she recorded as a totally.
Yeah, maybe. Wasn't. I bet you 75 is a high estimate.
Yeah, probably.
Then in 64, there was a posthumous release, a Portrait of Patsy Cline. And that pretty much stops anything that she, I mean, that's the first album that was released after she died. And so that last single, the last EP with So Wrong and You're Stronger Than Me was the last actual recording that we got as far as albums or EPs. Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of singles that were released that had non-album tracks. But as far as like albums, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you go into something like this, you go into to listening to Patsy Cline and some of these compilations and these greatest hits things knowing, all right, I know Crazy, I know Walking After Midnight, I know I Fall to Pieces. And then you start discovering all these other great songs that you've never heard. And a lot of her stuff was, you know, she didn't write anything. All of it was written for her, or there were covers. And her biggest song, Walking After Midnight, was a Billy Wills or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, no, Lynn Howard and the Accents. Billy Will did San Antonio Rose, which is one of my favorites. We'll talk about that when we get to it. But you know, there's, for as little as her of her music that you hear today. It's those three or four songs that were her big hits, but none of these other great songs. And it's too bad, because I think that hearing a library of Patsy Cline music, and again, you can get through it in an afternoon.
Yes, you really can. And the longest song is probably 3 minutes and 2 seconds tops.
Yes, exactly. So, like, it's all 2:10, 2:20. Right.
Yeah, you're not listening to Dream Theater with this lady. You're going to burn through her catalog while you're taking out the garbage.
You could listen to an entire album of Patsy Cline songs during one Dream Theater song. But yeah, just a really, really good library. There's a lot of stuff on Spotify and Apple Music and stuff. So you can actually, you yourself can really dive into to hearing just about everything she ever recorded. Let's talk about, obviously, the plane crash. You know,
you want to run through some of these singles real fast?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So in 1956, before she even released her first studio album, she had a single out that had couple songs on there, I Love You Honey and I've Loved and Lost Again. And then in 57, she released Today, Tomorrow, and Forever. 57, Poor Man's Roses or Rich Man's Gold.
One's as wealthy as a king in a palace, though he's callous and cold.
Come In and Make Yourself at Home. 59, Yes, I Gotta Understand and Got a Lot of Rhythm in My Soul. These are all non-album tracks. The only reason that I listed these the way I did was because they were specifically singles that were not found on any of the other albums or EPs.
Oh, really? So she didn't include those in the first studio album?
Yeah, so this is why I listed them the way I did, was because these stood out away from all the other things.
Gotcha, okay.
And then she did in 59, Yes, I Gotta Understand. Oh, got that one. 59, Cry Not For Me. 60, Love Sick Blues, Crazy Dream. 62, When I Get Through You. 60, again, 62, Strange, Imagine That, Why Can't He Be You? And then 63, Leaving. And then it's just, after she passed away, it's just been tons and tons of compilations, lots of posthumous releases. They did go back and release a few live albums, Live at the Opera, Live Volume 2, and Live at the Cinnamon Ballroom. And those are cool because there's Patsy in a setting in front of an audience, and it gives it shows you just how dynamic of a performer she was, because she was reacting to the audiences.
Right, and you don't get the studio stuff that they can do when you've got a live album. You hear, you know, close to the true artist's voice as possible. Interesting. Yeah, so crud, what was I going to go with that? We talked about the Always Patsy Cline biography, the Sweet Dreams biography. There's a couple other things online that you can find, like a YouTube video that shows some really cool performances she did on variety shows, not TV programs. Well, I guess one of them was a TV program, but that's also another really good thing to take a look at. Just jump into YouTube and look for Patsy Cline. You'll find a really cool set of videos of her in other performances. But just an amazing talent. Really, really good.
Yeah, she had perfect pitch, and it shows because she's able to land on some of these notes and do things with her voice that are pretty incredible. And it really does focus on just what kind of a talent she had.
Now, talk about her relationship to Jim Reeves, because this is something I had no idea about.
Okay, when I was doing research on the albums, there was this guy named Gentleman Jim Reeves. He lived from 1923 to 1964. And oddly enough, he also died in a plane wreck when he was young, but his difference was he was flying it.
Okay.
In 1980, there was a posthumous duet that was released with Jim Reeves and Patsy Cline, and it featured Have You Ever Been Lonely and I Fall to Pieces. And what they did was producers Chet Atkins and Owen Bradley lifted isolated vocals from their performances off of their three-track stereo masters and then synced them together using computer technology and released these duets of them singing these songs.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like that's really weird, because you've had the things where like Natalie Cole sings Unforgettable with Nat King Cole, but she's adding her vocals to his track. This is where they've taken two completely separate tracks. They basically are doing a mashup.
Yeah.
Two separate tracks, and they've put them together to make a duet.
Yeah.
And it sounds really good. I mean, it's, you know, it's got the two of them. It does sound like they're recording it together. They do the back and forth stuff. They do some harmonization stuff, and I Fall to Pieces. The instrumentation feels out of place. Like, yes, it's almost too modern.
Yeah,
right?
It feels
a little too polished.
It feels too clean.
Yeah, exactly. But the vocals, it is cool to hear these two vocals together. So it's interesting that they did that. Do you think they should do this? I mean, just in general, on the whole, do you think this is something that they should do more often? Should we get like a Kurt Cobain and John Lennon duet?
Okay.
I mean, okay, maybe not a great example.
Yeah, because I was going to say, it'd have to be a song that they both sang and sang in a similar style.
Right. I mean, you know, again, the Beatles took posthumously took John Lennon's vocals and did Free as a Bird, did, what was the other one?
That one from the anthology?
Yes, there were two, both of those from the anthology. Free as a Bird was the bigger one. I can't remember what the other one was.
I can't remember that either. I was kind of not in the right place to pay attention to that at the time, so.
Sure. But all right, so let's say it's two artists that did record the same song. Maybe David Bowie and
Peter Gabriel, David Bowie. They both did Heroes.
Okay, right. And let's say Peter Gabriel were to pass away.
Yeah,
that'd be required for this to.
I wouldn't mind hearing that, because I'd like to see what.
Yeah,
It has to be done with the right people, and it has to be done with the right reasoning. Not reasoning. I mean, because all of it's going to be to make money.
Right.
But with the right people behind it to make it sound natural and not hokey and weird.
Yes. Yeah.
So having Chet Atkins be part of this project.
Right.
It's a good person to have on the project. You know, if, let's say, Brian May were the person leading the David Bowie, Peter Gabriel thing. Okay.
Right.
I'm in.
Right. I mean, even, you know, all right, let's say it's a Freddie Mercury, David Bowie thing, you know, and there's, obviously they had Under Pressure together, but let's say there was another song that David Bowie and Freddie Mercury also recorded separately, but of the same song. And Brian May said, well, I really want to overlay these two artists on this track and release it as a single. I think I would totally be on board with that. I'd love to hear them do something like that.
Yeah. I don't know if Metallica's Stone Cold Crazy and, you know, Queen's Stone Cold
Queen's
Crazy
original
would work.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would go, but
not necessarily. Yeah.
If it's the right tone and for the right, I guess tone's really the word I'm going to try to land on, is if it's for the right tone, then I don't see a problem with it.
Does it go into, is there an ethical problem with this where you're taking something that an artist has recorded and saying, I'm going to, without their ability to be okay with this or not okay with this, I'm going to put them in with this other artist. And who knows, maybe it's an artist that they secretly despised, and now you're meshing the two of them together. Well, I don't know. There's a whole discussion that could go around.
I was going to say, wouldn't their estates have to sign off on a part of that at least?
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean,
and they know, all right, yeah, Freddie Mercury really hated Prince, and so he would never want to record a song with Prince.
Is that true?
No. Oh, I'm just saying as an example.
Oh. So, yeah, the plane crash, it took out four stars that were up and coming and big names in the Grand Ole Opry at the time. And it was, you know, March 5th, 1963. And it was, I guess it kind of shook people because it was, you know, if you Google the plane wreck information, tons of paper or newspaper headlines, lots of pictures, you know, the pictures of the funeral and the gravesite and all these memorials. And there's a memorial where the plane crashed itself that people go visit.
And, oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
And it must have really shaken a lot of people when this happened. And then shortly after that, I mean, all around that time you had the other plane crash with Gentleman Jim Reeves in it. Right. And then,
hard not to compare it to the big bopper. The big,
yeah. So it made flying as a rock star or as a star of any kind seem like it was a perilous undertaking.
Right. Yeah, wow. Okay. That's interesting too. Huh. All right. Let's get in anything else.
Well, I just thought I'd throw in too that she was portrayed by Beverly D'Angelo of Vacation fame in The Coal Miner's Daughter.
Mrs. Griswold. So interesting. So The Coal Miner's Daughter, Loretta Lynn story, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I've never seen it. So they actually have, other country stars kind of from that era in there as well. Mm-hmm. That interact with her.
I'll be honest. I've only seen bits and pieces of it. Sissy Spacek's always kind of scared me since Carrie.
There's something to that.
And I've only seen her in Carrie and The Help. And I was always a little bit leery that she was up to something in The Help.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's awesome. Fantastic.
So shall we talk about her Stairway to Heaven song?
Let's do that because you put yours in there and I put mine in there afterwards. And I thought, I think yours, now that I've seen the biopic and read more of her biography, I think your choice is right. But I said Crazy.
And I picked Walking After Midnight.
And I think you're right. By the way, there should be a new talk show with Christopher Walken, late night talk show called Walking After Midnight. I think that would be, somebody needs to make this happen
now. It should be Christopher Walken and Chris Hardwick.
Oh, really? You're walking after
walking midnight. At midnight.
At midnight, yeah.
Right. I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you.
Let's see what setlist.fm has to say about Patsy Cline as far as the, and it'd be great if I spelled it setlist and not setist. I should have had this up and ready in front of me. Artist statistics, Patsy Cline. It's funny. This is not a full.
It can't be.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's not even worth bringing up. I mean, we can bring it up, but it's not even. So basically, they've got six concerts, one in 63, three in 62, and two in 1960. And only one of them has its set list. And its set list is composed of five songs: Crazy, I Fall to Pieces, Stupid Cupid, Bill Bailey, and She's Got You. So Walking After Midnight,
wasn't even on there.
Not even on the list, but I think it's because it was just so poorly so poorly archived.
Yeah.
You know, people haven't put in the statistic. So I think you're right. Walking After Midnight would be her Stairway to Heaven song.
And the only reason I picked it was that's the song that launched her, and it seemed to be the song that kept coming up in all of the compilations. It's like the first or second song on every single compilation.
And the fact that it was recorded so much earlier than Crazy, in her touring, in her performances, she would have done that a lot more, obviously.
Yes, exactly. Just simple numbers-wise.
Right. All right. Well, let's get into our picks. Jumping into the playlist here. You kind of threw this out there, and I really liked the idea, although there were a couple songs that I was like, oh, I love that song. Let me see if I can find a cover. But you suggested that we do it through covers, kind of like we did with Leonard Cohen, and saying, all right, here's this song, but the version you've got to check out is this version by so-and-so. I did that for most of mine, but not all of mine.
See, and all mine are fictional. I don't have this.
Dream covers.
Oh,
like we did with Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, just like we did with Leonard Cohen.
All right. My first two songs are both Patsy Cline, quote unquote originals, but Who Can I Count On is just such a fun, it's a barn burner of a song, right? I mean, you expect it to be used for a commercial where they keep showing this other product breaking, right? Like, who can I count on if my hefty garbage bags, if I can't count on my hefty garbage bags kind of thing. And it would be a bunch of people like lifting their bags up and the bottom falling out or things like that. And then they show the real garbage bag that you want to buy. Anyway, it's a fun song, Who Can I Count On? Second one, I mentioned it earlier, and what I really love about this song, it's San Antonio Rose, is the melody for a woman whose library is largely made up of songs that have a very predictable melody that you go through. Mm-hmm. This song is very unpredictable, and I really like that. It still settles back on the first chord of the four. When it gets back around to it, but there's some really cool vocal melodies that don't always go with the backing instrumentation that I really like. San Antonio Rose. San Antonio, where in dreams I live with a memory beneath the stars all alone. Well, it was there I found beside the Alamo. Now we'll get into three covers, though. And this first one, I want everyone in the world to hear this song because it is so amazingly transformational. It takes the original song and just absolutely turns it on its ear. And it's the cover of I Fall to Pieces by a group called The Ann. It is, I searched, after I heard this, I searched far and wide and finally found the album that it's from. And the album is great as well, but it's such a great cover of I Fall to Pieces. It does this whole hard rock thing, transformation of the song, and it works so well with the lyrics.
Cool.
Roseanne Cash released an album called The List, in which she covers a bunch of songs that her dad said. You know her dad, right? It's that one guy, that famous guy.
Fred?
You know, somebody Cash? Yeah, I can't remember. But
his name just doesn't register.
Right? But her dad gave her this list of these are the songs that everybody needs to know. And one of them was She's Got You by Patsy Cline. So she covers that. Just like it used to be, the only thing different.
got your picture, she's got you. I've got the records.
The last one is kind of another cover where they take the original and totally add a hard edge to it. It's Girl in a Coma, and does a really, really good version of Walking After Midnight. And when they release, when they finally come out with the Christopher Walken talk show, the 1 a.m. Christopher Walken talk show, it's going to feature this as the theme song.
I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I walk for miles along the highway. Well, that's just my way of saying I love you. I'm always walking.
Kind of like the Pat Boone doing Crazy Train for the Osbournes.
For the Osbournes. Yes, exactly the same thing. Yep.
So you went and chose actual covers. I went into fantasy land and tried to think of people who I'd want to hear cover these.
I love that you did that, by the way.
And so mine don't exist, and we'll be putting in the Patsy Cline songs. But if any of the people I mention are listening, feel free to record it and then get a hold of me.
And then give you part of the royalties, because it was your idea. Yes.
The first song is Lovesick Sick Blues, and it's a fun song because it's one of the handful of songs that Patsy did that was more of an upbeat, up-tempo song. A lot of her stuff fell into this very moderate mid-tempo kind of feel. So Lovesick Blues, it's got yodeling mixed in with it, which, you know what, if someone can competently throw in a touch of yodeling, you got me hooked, because good yodeling's hard to find.
Right. No, totally. And it feels like a Hank Williams song, too. It might even be a Hank Williams song, because he did a lot of yodeling himself.
So but my choice of who I'd like to hear cover this is the lead singer of the Fabulous Thunderbirds, Cam Wilson. He plays a killer harmonica. He's got a very solid kind of rockabilly kind of feel to him. I'd love to hear him do this.
Oh, good choice. Yeah. Okay, that'd be great.
My next choice is Heartaches, and it really shows off Patsy's voice. It's a solid, it feels very like the band is way laid back in the mix, and it's just really focusing on the lyric and Patsy's voice.
Heartaches, heartaches, my loving you meant heartaches. Your kiss was such a sacred thing to me. I can't believe it's just a burning.
And when I thought of that kind of minimalistic feel, my only thought was Lord.
And I love it, yeah.
And to hear her kind of do that kind of haunting kind of take on it like she did with Everyone Wants to Rule the World would be pretty cool. It could be a little bit scary too.
Right. Yeah. Darker for sure. Like a much darker version of that. I love it. Love that idea.
Then came into Sweet Dream, which is just a really good, solid Patsy Cline song. It's it everything you want in a Patsy Cline song that isn't I Fall to Pieces or Crazy or Walking After Midnight.
And it's more positive than
it's one of the few
crazy and
it's
sure.
One of the few that isn't about heartbreak. It's
yes.
It's our loneliness. It's about positivity things.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear Chris Isaak take a Wicked Game stab at it.
See, that seems like it's been done by him. It feels like it's because there's that sweeping sweet, and you can hear Chris Isaak doing it.
Yeah.
That's such a brilliant, brilliant choice. I love it.
And then Back in Baby's Arms is another kind of up-tempo song, and I'd love to hear Harry Connick Jr. do it.
Baby's Arms,
Oh, that'd be great. That song was featured in, am I imagining, or was that song featured in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
To be honest with you, I don't know, because I've never seen that movie.
Oh, you better cut that part out, or you're going to get emails.
I really haven't seen it.
Oh, man. Okay, you need to. You absolutely need to. Watch it for Thanksgiving this year.
Okay, I will.
I'll buy you a copy of it if I have to.
I don't even know if it's streaming. Is it streaming?
I don't know. And if it isn't, I'll buy you a copy. I swear to God, I will.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I just didn't.
Best thing John Candy ever did. And one of the best things Steve Martin ever did.
Okay. Well, yeah. All right. Yeah. I've never seen it.
Sorry. Didn't mean to steer you off track.
No, that's fine. I feel very self-conscious about that now.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Sorry.
No. So my last one is Ain't No Wheels on This Ship, which is probably about as hard rock as Patsy Cline got, but it's very up-tempo country.
Now you call me so-and-so, 'cause ain't no wheels on the ship, and we can't roll, roll, roll. We can't roll, roll, roll. We can't roll.
There's a huge kind of swing feel to it. So recently I discovered a country singer named Brenda Birch. She's got this very large voice and she's really talented. And she sounds a lot like Reba. So to tie it back into a more known name would be Reba McEntire. But I think Brenda Birch could actually do a phenomenal version of that song.
For sure. Yeah, without a doubt. It's that upbeat, fun feel with that, the same as the Patsy Cline original for sure.
Yeah, it's good. So those are my picks. We don't have any bonus picks this week.
No bonus picks this week. Well, when you've got an artist who's got maybe 70 songs they've recorded, you want to make sure that you save those bonuses for when you've got like the 500 song library that you've got to muddle your way through. So I'm all right with that.
32 albums over the course of almost 50 years.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure that next week we'll have, we'll have plenty of bonuses.
I've already started digging. Have you?
No, I haven't, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, we'll talk about it. Let's talk about it now. Coming up on next week's show is Rush. We're going to be finally listening to the massive library of Rush music. And I'm a greatest hits guy when it comes to Rush, right? I know the hits. And of course I know that Neil Peart is an amazing drummer, and Geddy Lee, of course, has a great voice and did that thing with Bob and Doug McKenzie. And so I'm looking forward to my crash course in Rush over the course of the next several days.
And I am probably more familiar with Rush than you are.
Oh, very, by far.
But I can also tell you that my preferences toward Rush are probably not going to line up with where people typically line up with Rush.
Sure. Well, I believe it. Cool. So that is next week. That's going to be coming up on the show next week. Hope you enjoyed this week. You know, not to steer far away from Patsy Cline. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Patsy Cline on Soundography. And
I learned a lot.
I did too. Yeah. And I enjoyed it a lot more than I was expecting to enjoy it. And I thought there was a lot more to it than I was expecting there was going to be when you start getting into such a small library of music, but such a rich voice. And I didn't find any songs that were not enjoyable, honestly.
And when you really think about it, and we kind of glossed over this, she's really had an impact on female-led performing in country music.
For sure.
And even though she only had 3 albums and less than probably 75 songs, she had a huge impact on music in general. There aren't many people who don't know Crazy or I Go Walking or I Fall to Pieces. Those are songs that still permeate into popular culture to this day.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Yeah, for sure.
And the rest of those songs need to have some attention because they're equally as good and in some cases maybe even a little better.
Maybe a little better, and maybe better just because you're unfamiliar with them and it's new territory. And it's a warm bath, man. I mean, it's a song that's not going to give you anything that you're not expecting. And I think there's something to that. There's something really cool about that.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, email us, soundographypodcast@gmail.com is the email address to use. You can follow us on Twitter, and we talk all about stuff all during the week, @TheSoundography. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Of course, everything else you can find on our website, soundography.com, including past episodes and links to the playlist, which you can find on Spotify. We put links in every episode's show notes, as well as a link to Amazon to like the greatest hits album, or a good place to start if you just want to get right into all the music you know and love. And you're one of those people that wants to own all the sound files instead of just streaming them. You'll find links to Spotify and to Amazon in our show notes. Of course, check us out on Patreon and have a look there at ways to support the show. And then in the meantime, just get your prog rock ears ready for Rush, which is coming up next week. Really looking forward to it.
This was one of the listener picks from our Kickstarter.
That's right. Yes. So thank you for that, listener.
Well, it could have been worse.
That's right. All right. Well, on behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying good night. Thank you for listening to another episode of Soundography.
Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.